In the NFL, there is no margin for error. As you know, one mistake can change the outcome of an entire game. That's the same thing about your life and making sure you get the proper sleep so you get done in your day exactly what you want, because you're focused and you have everything in order. And the people who can help you do that are our friends at Sleep Number. Their mission is to provide the players of the NFL and you with data and insights to optimize your sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Don't just take my word for it. How about 95% of the Los Angeles Rams? They've got a Sleep Number bed. 80% of the Kansas City Chiefs, they have a Sleep Number bed. 90% of the Vikings have a Sleep Number bed. You should have a Sleep Number bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because we can adjust our side of the bed to the exact firmness that we want and allows for working out or recovery. It's game-changing. So if you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store right now. See your store or sleepnumber.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on the Roku Sports Channel from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
NBA playoffs is going to be amazing.
It's too bad it takes 2.5 months.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Kick out in the corner, 3, Westbrook.
Score! Step out of bounds, 3 is up.
And he hit it!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Here's Dante.
Fires at the buzzer and hits the 3.
Today's guests: quarterback coach John Beck, Cardinals defensive end Calais Campbell, The Ringer NFL draft analyst Todd McShay, former NFL general manager Mike Mayock, and now it's Rich.
That's right.
Eisen.
That's correct. Can't confirm it. Let's go. It's the Rich Eisen Show. It's an NFL draft week. We're here in Los Angeles today. We're in Green Bay Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And the same applies for you to call us. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial right here on the Roku Sports Channel. Love being here. Love being on the Infinity Sports Network. Love being on Sirius XM Channel 375 Odyssey. We're just a loving bunch. The Overreaction Monday podcast pre-draft version is already in your RSS feed inbox or right there on our YouTube channel for you to enjoy. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Chris Brockman and I got here early. Good to see you over there, Christopher.
Rich,
how are you?
Great to see you. Great shirt. What's up, man?
Yeah, we're wearing very similar cuts. Yeah. Good to see you. Jay Felly, how are you, sir?
What's up, Rich?
No,
doing
great.
And the candle is not lit because TJ's not here.
Oh, man.
And this is a rarity. TJ never misses a show,
right,
and he has an excused absence.
It's good because
I know, because in about 3+ hours from now, he and O'Shea Jackson Jr. are going to be in the Las Vegas Convention Center in the WWE world. And there they are. There they are from WrestleMania this weekend, WrestleMania 41 in the books. There's a big night of wrestling in Vegas tonight. At any rate, they'll be recording the latest episode of No Contest Wrestling from there. And it's exciting. Our world is exciting. We're everywhere right now, and we're thrilled. So TJ, not here. And he always is.
I even turned his mic on. I'm so used to it.
Look at you. So at any rate, that went down over the weekend, and TJ and O'Shea are going to be there. So if you're in the Vegas Convention Center later on, go stop by and say hello.
Yes, sir.
My gosh. I'm just so excited. NFL draft week is here. I'm going to be hosting an NFL draft coverage on NFL Network for the 22nd time. On Thursday night.
Congrats, man. That's awesome.
No, this is great. And going. and counting.
And going.
I intend to do it in Pittsburgh next year and
can't
so
stop,
on and so
won't
forth. I could stop. Am I undercutting your point?
I'm trying to hype you up, man.
Okay, thank you. And it's just so exciting. Rumors flying everywhere. Everything's going crazy. Everything's going nuts. And a couple of rumors that I've heard, I care to share with you.
Oh.
Because I know what you like, Chris.
You know, this is the waters that I like to travel in, man.
That's what I do. I know things.
Thank you.
Rumors and innuendo.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That makes me the Tyrion Lannister of the draft. I had no idea.
I even removed the drinking part.
Look at you.
I mean, you didn't have to, I guess.
We are going to Green Bay. There should be some beers flowing.
We're going to house bars. People hit us up.
Okay. So a couple of things that I'm hearing. And this one might not raise to the level of shock or awe. And this is the neat part about it. Because it involves the Jacksonville Jaguars. The one franchise of fans that I hear from the most, because they believe we at NFL Network disrespect them and have zero concern for their future or their thought processes, to the point where we always take a commercial break right before their pick. They're on the clock. It's time to take a break.
We'll be right back.
Now, I have been told that we are going to be on the air for a considerable amount of time on Thursday night. For the first few picks, I am going to it cannot, the first commercial break cannot be when the Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock. If it is, though, then we're just having a wink and a nod of fun here.
Patriots select, and then we'll be right back.
But listen, I'm hearing, Chris, as much as you want the Ashton Jeanty.
So badly.
I'm hearing the Patriots love, adore Will Campbell and are going to do the sensible thing, which is protect the kid before giving him a weapon to protect him with a run game. That might not materialize because the offensive line isn't equipped to do that either.
And it worked out for Joe Burrow, right?
Where they went with Chase over Penei Sewell.
Yeah.
I'm hearing the Patriots are going to do the sensible thing and go Will Campbell out of LSU. And that Cam Ward and Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter and Will Campbell will be the first four picks of the draft. And then everybody's like, well, then it's going to definitely be Mason Graham, fifth overall. And that does make sense that they take this kid out of Michigan, who I've seen personally and is worthy of the fifth overall pick in this draft. I'm hearing that the Jacksonville Jaguars could go anywhere with this thing.
Like a certain running back from Boise?
It could be, I don't know, Jeanty or this kid, Derek Harmon, out of Oregon. Everybody is going nuts over, too. Remember back in the day, everyone's like, they're going to take the Michigan kid and Aiden Hutchinson. And
yeah, I know. They took the Georgia kid, which maybe they take the other Georgia kid now.
Well, they could take
Jalen Walker.
Jalen Walker to go with their other Walker. I don't know. Or they could take an Oregon kid over a Michigan kid and leave Mason Graham on the board, which I don't know if that would give pause to the Raiders or not, but I don't know. This could be the first major wrinkle. Obviously the first major wrinkle would be Shedeur Sanders going third overall to the Giants, but I've been told to keep an eye out that Jacksonville may not do what everybody thinks they're going to do. And then I'm hearing Jackson Dart falls out of the first round too.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to make of it. You hear crazy stuff like Shedeur Sanders. There are some teams that don't even have a first-round grade on him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, a lot of people say like Dart is quarterback two in this draft.
I don't know if this is based on Dart not going to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. That could have been one of those things that they knew he wasn't going to Green Bay, but the announcement came out, and it sounded like he changed at the last minute because he's hearing he's not going to be in the draft room. That he's going to be in the draft room, pardon me, all night Thursday. Jalen Milroe is going, and he's got the same situation where he could be a second rounder, and he could be coming back on Friday night to stick around in Green Bay. I don't know. The number of people that are just talking about this quarterback class, no one's sold on it. I've heard that. It would be wild if four quarterbacks go in the first round anyway.
I still think that's
because there could be a
likely.
The fact that we're in draft week now, and we are now inside that five-day window before the draft. Yeah. And the reason why we're mentioning 5 days here is because the last time we have not seen a single trade involving the first round of an NFL draft. The longest we've seen, the last time we've seen this length of time go without a first round draft choice being sold or acquired was when Joe Montana went to the Chiefs 5 days before that draft in 93. And here we are now this close. And the reason why you're not seeing any of these picks traded in the first round is because maybe people are not sold on the quarterbacks. You can get one at the end of the first round. It seems more likely to me that there will be a trade involving a draft choice in the first round in the bottom 10 of this first round than the top 10 of this first round. Because of that, that these quarterbacks fall and there are teams like the Browns and the Giants sitting there, maybe the Raiders at the top of the second round saying, we're going to trade back into the first round and get that fifth year of contractual control for a quarterback. That's more likely than somebody trading into the first round top 10 to draft a quarterback there. Big time. And so, I don't know. As you know, all it does is just take one. One team loves somebody, and that's the end of it.
Yep, that's the end of it.
And I am hearing the Giants do like Jackson Dart. Maybe they go ahead and do something. Mike Mayock joins us in hour three. He's going to complete his mock draft. Or Mike Mayock draft. Because he's not a Mayock. He's not a mock draft guy. And he did the first 10 just organically where I went through 1 through 10. And then he's like, I'll give you 10 through 20 last week.
Okay.
And now I'm like, you want to finish it off, Mike? And he has finished it off. We have it. And he will reveal it. And I'm wondering how many quarterbacks go in the final 12 picks of the first round. He's going to give us 20 through 32. We've got our friend from The Ringer, Todd McShay, an hour or two to give us his thoughts prior to the draft. And then John Beck, the quarterback coach and a guru. I'll call him a guru. He's sitting in our green room.
Excellent.
Only gurus get to sit in our green room. The Groovy Guru. That is a Get Smart reference that I'm sure many people don't get, but I do. And that's all that matters. Just like it's one team. It just takes one team to draft somebody.
It takes one person to get your reference.
And if it's me, I'll take it.
I mean, the only thing I know from Get Smart is the missed it by that much.
That's correct.
Yeah, got it.
At any rate, before we get to Mr. Beck, Daniel Jeremiah, with whom I share a draft set, and as I mentioned in the Overreaction Monday podcast, not many people in the television business, I could say in a week that I will be spending more time with that person than anyone on this set where I spend 3 hours a day talking.
Yes.
In the presence of.
That's true.
Dropping prepositions at the end of sentences. And hey, Chris, I'm going to be spending more time with Daniel Jeremiah in Green Bay than you, but that's okay.
That's okay. I mean, look, I'm
or
not.
Or you, Jay, or TJ.
I'm not hurt about it. I mean, DJ's the best. All good. So it's all good.
That's true. I'm not so sure. Yeah. Let me know if I need a restraining order. Daniel, what he does, he has a mock draft on Wednesday night on NFL Network. Charles Davis and Daniel Jeremiah honcho that one Wednesday night. But the Monday of draft weeks, Daniel, reveals the top 150 players on his draft board. This, I would proffer to say, is proprietary information that Daniel shares that is no question of interest to all 32 draft rooms. They are very, like, DJ is in the know and his opinion is respected. And he's got Travis Hunter, number one on his draft board.
Mm-hmm. He should.
Which only adds to the question, is Cam Ward a first overall pick? And it's just tough for people to wrap their minds around the fact that a kid who went from Incarnate Word to Washington State to the U, where he showed a remarkable set of skills, physical, mental, the ticker inside, the heart. How many times do you see Michael Irvin on his hands and knees on the sidelines of a Miami game, staring at the scoreboard, knowing that this thing is over, and then Cam Ward just pulled it out of the rabbit hole.
Far too many times to count this year.
So, but a lot of people just cannot wrap their arms around Cam Ward being in the surefire first overall pick quarterback position like Andrew Luck or Trevor Lawrence or Caleb Williams, right?
Joe Burrow, Cam Newton.
Sure.
Yeah.
They just can't wrap their arms around it. But Travis Hunter's number one on Daniel Jeremiah's top 150. You could put up the rest if you don't mind right here. You've got also number two on his list. You got Abdul Carter. You've also got on this list number three overall. And this is the thing that you can really get into it. Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah, buddy.
And, okay, there's Mason Graham at four and Jalen Walker five. So, where's the quarterback? Because you got two tight ends after that. Tyler Warren, we talked about. I'm telling everybody, Colston Loveland, clearly I'm biased, but I've also seen him play more football than pretty much everyone up on the screen right now. He is dynamite. He is awesome. And he's number seven on Daniel Jeremiah's top 50 prospects list that then has Cam Ward eighth. So the first overall pick in the draft is a quarterback that in Daniel Jeremiah's mind gets pushed up seven spots.
Wow.
Just for a need? Just because Tennessee doesn't want to pick there anymore? Again, when you draft Travis Hunter, you get two players. Two in one. You got two edge guys, one on offense, one on defense. I know the edge is normally a rusher, but he's out there taking away half the field. And on the other side of the ball, he's stretching it. Two guys. I said this Overreaction Monday pod. I think this kid's going to be so damn good that I could see down the road, whoever drafts him will have a problem signing him to a second contract because What do you value? Like, there is no comp. There's no comp for what he can do. And so they're going to end up slapping a franchise tag on the guy and figuring out, we'll just tag you at the lowest rate, at the position with the lowest rate. That's what we'll do. That's how good he is. And then you look again at the rest of his, we got his top 20, because he's got Armon Membu at nine and Jahdae Barron, the corner, his top corner is Barron. My guy, Will Johnson out of Michigan, winds up on his second 20 after Will Campbell and Jihad Campbell. Two Campbells finish up the top 20, start the top 20, the second half of it. Omarion Hampton is 13.
That dude is going to be a stud, I think.
Matthew Golden, who a lot of people are pegging at the Cowboys at 12, is 14. Nick Emenwori is the top safety. Will Johnson is second best corner. You got Tyler Booker. Emeka Ibuka is the second wide receiver above Tet McMillan, who came out of the combine. A lot of people saying number one receiver. Mm-hmm. And then there's Shador at 20, which means if this all plays out, and usually it does, I'm telling you, this sometimes winds up with – with DJ, it's not the right order, but this sometimes winds up like a mock draft, which means Shador would be there sitting there with the Steelers on the clock, which would be wild. If the Steelers stick and pick at 21 and have Shador fall to them, I think they take him, by the way. And would somebody realize that and get a little panicky and want him to the point where they call up the non-quarterback needy Broncos and say, we'll pop up to 20? Unless Hampton's sitting there for Denver to take, or maybe Colston Loveland sitting there for Denver to take, or one of these wide receivers. My gosh, it's a fascinating draft. But again, if Travis Hunter's number one overall on a draft board and you're the number one overall picking team,
take him. Don't overthink it.
Crazy. Crazy. Ugh. Oh, and by the way, Calais Campbell's on our rundown. And I got my top five draft steals.
Ooh.
And then there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
Let's go.
But we've got a guru in our green room. Let's bring him out. John Beck is here. Love having him here in studio. We are going to just really work this guy who works none but the best. Top prospects and some top quarterbacks, veterans in the game. John Beck coming up next. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions. So it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. Not everyone is careful with your personal information, which might explain why there's a victim of identity theft every 5 seconds in the U.S. Fortunately, there's LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year by visiting LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Very rare I start an interview here on the Rich Eisen Show by asking the guy who is here in studio to answer this question. John Beck, what is your title? Like, how do you wish to be referred to?
I was not prepared for that question. I don't know. Just a guy that likes helping quarterbacks.
Okay. For 3D QB, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like Happy Gilmore, where he's like, come try to beat the old long ball hitter guy.
We just landed on NFL quarterback coach, but you coach college quarterbacks, yeah, too.
Our college guys is a big part of what we do. And
sure,
for a lot of these guys, we've trained them through college, and now we have the opportunity to train them as they prepare to be an NFL player. And a lot of NFL vets, like Jackson Dart, we've known him since he was a sophomore in high school.
All right, so I want to dive into that. But Brockman, you were offset. This is wild. Where are you going this week? I asked you, are you going to Green Bay? And yeah. You said what? Go ahead.
I'll be in Italy. I'll be in Rome on draft day. We're taking my oldest son, my wife, and I are going to head to Italy for like a week and then Paris for a few days.
Wow. Because the cake is baked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
This is like my time of year to... Yeah, the
I guess that trumps Joe Thomas going fishing, right?
Well, that was my draft class.
I remember when Joe did that. That was my draft
that
year.
That was big for us because we had him for some... I don't know what the technology was. Like, we had him have like some sort of Cisco camera on his boat. So we got his reaction being drafted on NFL Network by doing that. But if you think about it, as soon as the draft's over, you're busy, right?
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
Because the kids are
college guys.
Right, college kids. Yeah. And then the pros. So draft week is actually a calm period for you.
It is. It's actually the time where there's like a little dip. And you know what's funny, too? My anniversary is May 1st, so it lands kind of like...
Oh!
Yeah.
Perfect. Wow.
It's helped professionally and for your relationship.
Yeah, it works out great.
That's so cool.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
This is the culmination for so many people. And for you, it's like the time to take a little,
yeah, we really, like as soon as January hits and those guys finish their bowl games, or sometimes the guys don't play in the bowl games nowadays, they start training and it is draft prep.
Yeah.
And then we start having the NFL vets start trickling in because they're going to get ready for camp to start. And then it's like the draft is like this little drop off.
Right.
And then when May hits, it's cranking again with all these college guys.
That's the voice of John Beck, quarterback coach for the 3D QB, just revealed to us on the Roku channel TV stream segment. You're going to be in Italy with your family because it's a down period for somebody like yourself because the cake is already baked and you're going to find out how the reception is in the Colosseum, right? Is that what you're going to be? Like you're going to be in the Roman Forum, you know, like looking at like the draft list that's refreshing kind of your phone?
Yep, be in the Roman area, like the Colosseum Forum and... Trevi Fountain.
That's hilarious.
All that stuff. Walking around on my phone, like checking to see what happens.
Oh my God, I just got drafted. All right, let's just jump into this. All I'm hearing is how down evaluators are on this quarterback draft class. You hear that, you think what?
Well, it's an interesting take because I know what last year's draft class was like.
Yes.
You have all those quarterbacks where it was guaranteed if this guy doesn't go 5, this guy's going 7, and this guy's going 8. And it was like this huge thing where you know there are these chunk of teams at the top that are going to be taking quarterbacks. And that's not the feeling this year. That's not what I hear. You know, I think most people assume and believe Cam's going to be the first guy off the board. But then once he goes off the board, everybody's saying, what now? What next? Does anybody really know what's going to happen? And I heard you talking before I came in about these possible trades back up into the first round.
Yes.
I think as you hit the teens, the latter end of the teens, and you start sitting at that pick right before Pittsburgh, like you said, what can start happening with trades back up? Because you got to think if somebody's sitting there, whether it's Jackson Dart, Shedeur Sanders, if somebody's sitting at 21 and Pittsburgh has a pick, you think they're going to take him. So that means if somebody's got to trade up, you either got to jump Pittsburgh or take a chance that Pittsburgh doesn't want the guy you want.
Unless you think the player's not worth it. You know what I mean? And that's the whole thing is the evaluation right now is I'd rather take someone else and roll the dice on later in the draft or next year.
Yeah.
And how can that's what I'm wondering. Like, can you walk me through the mind of an evaluator to conclude such a thing right before a draft?
Well, the tough part is about evaluating quarterbacks is everybody puts in so much time and effort and does their homework, but is it an exact science? Like how many quarterbacks get taken high and it doesn't work out? And then there's the, well, why did it not work out? Was it the team? Was it the situation? Was it the offense? There's all these things. And then you look at guys that get picked later on in the draft and they go to spots and it works out for them. And someone says, oh, well, if we were to redraft, we would now draft that guy in the first round instead of the fourth round. Well, if there was really a science about it and the guys knew exactly what they were doing, there wouldn't be that many of those situations. And so I think as they go into this, the teams are going to say, like, we want first round pick. We want to feel really good. And I don't want to say safe, but like, we want to believe that there's a great chance this guy is going to work out. And this just popped in my head, but I was talking with a GM a while back and they said, look, if you know you got to take a first round quarterback because that's what your team needs, you don't worry about the slot. You don't worry if it's pick 12, pick 18, pick 24. If you got to take a first round quarterback, you take a first round quarterback. And so, you know, that's where like then trading back up. I think some teams say, okay, maybe to get our guy, we have to trade back up, but is it worth it to us? Do we think that they can be that player that we want to have for 5 years? Because you don't want to take a first round quarterback and not want to pick up that fifth year option when you take him. Like nobody's doing that. They're saying, let's take a chance, pick a guy that hopefully we can get for 5 years under that contract. Because in today's world, the best contract you can get is a rookie contract. Because if they succeed, man, it skyrockets.
No doubt. So let's talk about one of your guys that's got many people's minds a first round grade or could drop out of the first round, and that's Jackson Dart. When did you first meet him?
Sophomore in high school. Yep, he was playing at Roy High School up in Utah and was playing baseball and football and was just a kid and his dad, Brandon, pursuing a dream. They would fly out to California all the time and just trying to get an offer. I mean, I remember days on the field talking to him and he's just like trying to get that first college offer. And it's really cool to see now the story where, yeah, Jax could potentially be a first-round draft pick here in a few days.
Okay, so what do we not know about him that we should going into this draft? John Beck?
Well, I don't know what you guys know yet. That's okay. The tough part. That's
all right.
The,
good answer. Good answer to a somewhat vague question. But
I got to know what you guys know. I mean, here's the thing I do know. I do know there's a lot of teams that are very high on Jax. But they're, I think, playing that same thing of like, where do we take him? You know, yeah, we'd love to have him. We love how competitive he is. We love what he did in the SEC. We love these first team all conference, team captain. Like, all these things speak volumes for what he accomplished and who he is. Okay, great. Now, where do we feel like is the spot to take him? Can we get him?
Okay.
That's the thing that I think most teams are trying to decide. I mean, evaluators, I've heard so many positive things about him.
But, like what?
Some of the things I just said, so competitive, right? They love, like, coaches want to find out what his teammates feel about him. Like, when guys get opportunities to be interviewed at the draft, like, let's say you're, or not the draft, the combine. Mm-hmm. Let's say you have a few of the Ole Miss tight end, wide receiver, defensive players. They also know to ask, tell me what you think about Jackson Dart. Tell me what the team thinks about Jackson Dart. What's he like away from what we see? That happens all the time. And so I think for Jax, everybody knows the competitive nature, the fieriness, the injuries that he's played through. Like, coaches, that matters a lot. Like, hey, can this guy play through some injuries? Because we're going to need him to. If you're going to play 20-something games and take us to the Super Bowl, you can bet you're going to be dinged up and have to play in some games.
I'll ask it anyway. You don't have to answer it, but I'm mandated to ask which teams are interested in him, John.
I mean, you know, a lot of the stuff's pretty correct. You know, like, teams like the Giants are going to be interested. Teams like Pittsburgh's going to be interested. I think the interesting thing that I tell, like, even Jax's family, you don't know some teams that really like you that are purposefully not talking to you, that are purposefully kind of staying back a little bit. You don't know really how much they're in because they don't want everybody else to know, you know, and it's that perfect example. I remember
Jay Cutler never heard from the Broncos.
Broncos, yep.
That's true.
Oh, 100%. 100%
true. They completely stayed away from him, and he was totally stunned that the Broncos took him.
Yeah. It's crazy how some years you can absolutely know. Like, the year that I was training Justin Herbert.
Yes.
I mean, it was like San Diego back then, right? But it was like, man, the Chargers. Like, wait, it wasn't San Diego. They were already the Chargers up here, right? Like, man, the Chargers are a team. Like, I think this is where he's going to land. And then there's other years where I have guys that it is just like, I mean, there's like three or four teams, and we really don't know, and we got to see how it plays out. I feel for these quarterbacks like Jax and Shadur and some of the guys right behind them. There's Kyle McCord, and there's Quinn Ewers, and there's Tyler Shuck. Like, man, we don't really know how that's going to all play out. This is going to be a really interesting first three, four rounds of this draft for all those guys.
I feel for them, too, because I know the dream of having a short draft night, hugging the commissioner, holding the jersey, right?
Yeah.
That everybody dreams of that. Everybody dreams of those draft moments. And then back in the day when we first started NFL Network, cameras would just zoom right in on the player sitting in the green room. Yeah. I mean, just cut right away. If they're not drafted, oh, they dropped another one. Let's take a look at
Aaron
somebody
Rodgers,
sitting in
right?
Exactly. Roger Goodell ended that tradition when I'm blanking on
Brady Quinn.
Brady Quinn.
Oh yeah, that was my draft class.
That was your draft class too. Brady dropped, yeah. And we kept showing him in the green room off the side of Radio City Music Hall. And Roger said, "You're coming in the commissioner's green room where there are no cameras. Sit there." He was done with it. And then now we're not allowed to pretty much show anybody in the green room because it gives away when they're on the phone.
Yeah,
it tips the pick.
Yeah,
that's deep. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is kids drop, and that means they have a better shot of landing with a team that's got a good coach, a great system, and maybe can sit a year and then get ready. Again, ask Lamar Jackson how long that first draft night was for himself and how many stacks he's got right now for a team that puts him in a quarterback catbird seat of being a Super Bowl contender every year right now.
Yeah, and a great franchise. I've been in that franchise. Like, Baltimore's a great franchise ran by great people. And you're right. Like, the situation matters so, so much. It made me think also as, like, I left out Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Here's a team that is like, look at the situations that they've been through with the quarterback that they paid a ton for, thinking this is going to be our guy. And it hasn't really worked out that way. And you see them bring guys in and, okay, they're going to pick Travis Hunter. Everybody thinks that that's where he's going. Okay, what do you do next? Do you try to move back up? Do you go and you try to capitalize on what you think could be something that can really grab the city of Cleveland and go grab Shadur? And now you basically bring both of those guys that really, truly, 2 years ago when Deion first went to Colorado, college football was captivated by what Deion and those players were doing at Colorado. And I know that from a win-loss standpoint, that first year wasn't great for them. But like people watched, people paid attention. It's going to be interesting to see what Cleveland does. But going back to also like the team situation, like where you end up is everything. I tell all these quarterbacks, like, do not get so caught up in feeling like you have to be a first rounder. You got to be on stage. You got to have that really only lasts a brief moment. What really matters is what's going to go beyond that for the years that you're at that franchise. Can it really be a place that's going to help you succeed? Because we've seen tons and tons of quarterbacks where the situation has not helped them.
3D QB quarterback coach John Beck here on the Rich Eisen Show. Boy, by the way, great job with Jaden Daniels.
Well, that's our whole look. Jaden's a special player. Jaden's a special player.
You taught him regardless. All you know, right, John? Taught him all you know.
Listen, we have a team of coaches, but it's always more than just what we do at our field, right?
Sure.
Like, I love that guy's story though. Like, Arizona State comes in with tons of talent, shaky, leaves, that whole thing at the locker where his teammates are doing crap at his locker, like, get this guy out of here. Like,
don't forget him being pissed about being thrown in the mix with a whole bunch of prospects. Oh, like, Washington threw them all together, right?
And yeah.
Supposedly he wanted no part of that.
I mean, look.
You know, I mean, you get all this pre-draft stuff.
Yeah, here's the thing. Love Jaden, and he works his tail off, and it's really cool. I'm just like our group 3DQB.
Yes.
There's a group of us coaches and we are a slice to this pie, right? Like, there's so many things that go into it. But the cool part is our opportunity to see somebody work. When somebody's that talented, they work that hard, and not just on field, but the off the field stuff that he does to prepare himself to be a great player.
Like what? Give me something, man.
I mean, right now it's the virtual reality, right? All of the hours that he logged in virtual reality. If you go talk to his offensive coordinator at LSU, the growth that he had, that just doesn't happen because you go throw footballs. It happens because of the intent, the purposeful things that you do in the meeting room, walkthroughs. What's your brain doing when you're not in the building? Like, the reality is most quarterbacks are wired super, super competitively. And so when they're at a restaurant, you think that they're just living it up. I promise there are many times that plays run through their head.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. When they're walking in their house, I mean, I know stuff with Dak Prescott. We're like, we've been finishing a training session. We're going to go grab lunch. And he's in his front like kitchen area thinking through some of the things he was working on. Like, that's just the way a lot of these guys are wired. And so that's Jaden, right? Like, he had a drive to him that for 2 years we got to watch at LSU. And then it's amazing. Heisman Trophy, top pick, goes into his rookie year. And we're saying, all right, let's see how this goes. Like, we know AP over at the Redskins, Adam Peters, this is going to be really good. We know the offensive coordinator, this could be really good. And everybody went out and made plays. And that guy, I mean, you got him up there right now. His success happened also because of the people around him. Dan Quinn, the coach, I love Dan. Like, I got to spend some time around him in Dallas. Like, the way that the team functions offensively, the players around him. I mean, it's everybody in that building for that guy to be successful. And yeah. The cool part is it worked. It worked.
Yeah, and then they go ahead and get Tunsil. And they get Debo.
Yeah, they're adding
pieces.
I mean, to
add on top of it.
Yeah, it makes it exciting. Now there's some expectations, though, right?
Sure.
Like, before, it's like, let's see how this goes. And now, all right, man, this is going to be a playoff run. And now the expectations come in. And now, okay, how does the players and how does the organization handle the next set of expectations?
Well, he comes across as real jittery and lack of confidence. You know what I mean? Like, he's so good. He was so good. He is so good. And I'm just trying to give our viewers and listeners an idea of how you can, I guess, translate it to a draft class in a draft week. Who's next? What do you,
yeah.
When you see or evaluating for a player to be so good, you know, how do you evaluate that? How do you see that in a draft process and go, that's what we need to do. I'm an owner. I need to replicate that. How do you translate it?
Well, I think
somebody else.
Yeah, I think one thing that's tough is you can't see a player and say, if I can find somebody just like that player, it will work in this situation.
Uh-huh.
They're all so different and unique. like even the personalities of a player. That's why, like, I tell guys, hey, when you go to the combine and throw, okay, yeah, it's kind of important. But the reality is those coaches have watched all of your throws through the season.
Yes.
Those are way more important than what you throw at the combine. The biggest thing at the combine is your interaction with the teams that are interviewing you. Like, that's how they get to see who you are. And then, like, when teams have their private workouts, they take the guys out to dinner. Like, coaches fly in, GMs fly in. They want to really get to know that person. It's more than just the physical capabilities on the field. It's more than just, like, the ability to process. It's everything. And then also, how does that go into the mixture of the team that you're bringing him into? Like, I'm sorry, but there are not 32 winning situations in the NFL. There is not. And the people in the NFL know that. Coaches that have been other places, one, been successful, then been given jobs at another organization to try to build that place up, spent 3 to 4 years working their tail off, and then they get fired. They learn the lesson really quickly. There are not 32 winning situations. And the tricky part is teams, when they draft, are they fully aware? Like the question you asked me, John, tell us what we don't know about Jackson Dart. Well, I need to know what you think I know or what you think you know. That's going to help. It's these teams as well. Do they really know who they are? Do they really know what they lack? You can't just bring in a great player and go, oh, wow, he's really good. We should start winning now. It's everything.
Well, I'm not going to ask you a team name here, but before we throw it a break, and then we'll get you one more segment. Do you, in 3D QB or others in your profession, like, again, you've got Dart, you've got Dylan Gabriel in this year's draft. Do you openly talk within your circle of teams that you don't want them to go to? I hope this team does not take this kid because of what you just said. Yes or no?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
I'm telling you, it's the truth, right? Like, yeah. And
love it.
It's not just you and your colleagues, it's everyone else. Like, well, they are walking around saying, I hope my guy does not go there.
How can you not? If you've experienced the reality of what it is,
yes,
and you've also, like, I've lived it, I've coached people through it, I've seen it, I've communicated with coaches that are, if I were to answer that question and be like, oh no, I don't do that, that's like saying I didn't experience all those things. Like, if you've experienced the reality of the NFL, you know that is true. There are some situations. And look, I'm not saying the organization can't be one that you would want him to go to.
Look at Washington, by the way. Like, 2 years ago, if you got Jaden Daniels, oh, 100%. I absolutely want him to go to Washington.
I know.
Look, you'd have never said that in a
million
years.
Those organizations are moving and growing and changing. And, like, there are good times to be a part of it, and sometimes they're not.
Yes.
And that's just the reality of it, you know? And sometimes there are some really good organizations. Like, I mentioned Baltimore. I had the privilege to be a Raven. Like, that place, the building, it's like, it's just one of those spots where you're just like, man, those guys do a lot of really, really good things. And you would say, I'd almost say, regardless of position, I know so many people in that building, that is a good spot for you to grow and learn and develop. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not all 32 are like that.
Not all 32. I love it. Let's take a break. You also have a bunch of other players in the NFL, or you and your organization, bunch of other players I want to hit on. Stroud being one, my guy, JJ, Penix, you mentioned Dak. You also got Jalen. My goodness gracious, if Dart goes to the Giants, you'll have the entire NFC East. You notice that?
Oh, you know what? Jameis Winston. We train Jameis.
Hey.
I know. I'm like, you know what? They might be eating some W's together.
Yeah. You know what, Jameis? There's that window. It's not as small as you think. Just go. That's what you tell him? That window's not that small. Go ahead and throw in it. I love it, man. Let's take a break. I've got John Beck right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everyone? It's Trevor Sikkema here from the PFF NFL Show, here to get you ready for the 2025 NFL Draft. We're dropping PFF podcast episodes 3 times a week with the rankings, sleepers, team fits, mock drafts, and more, powered by the same data used by all 32 NFL teams. If you want a deeper insight into this year's class and how it all shapes up on draft day, we've got you covered. Become a smarter draft fan right now on the PFF NFL Podcast. The PFF NFL Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Now it's kind of the end of an era for you here in this state, you know, obviously, and an end of, you know, a prep slash college career for you, getting ready to go to the pros, man. Like, this is it.
This is it. Everything you worked for, everything you dreamed of, yeah.
In terms of working and dreaming about it, you sent me a video before I boarded the plane to get here.
Yes, sir.
And this video is what, JJ?
It's pretty much, long story short, my dad manifesting my entire life. And, you know, it was right before I was born. And him just kind of saying, you know, going through the names and what
with
my
your,
name
with
was
your mom?
Be. Yes, with my mom. And, you know, he was just like, this is going to be daddy's little quarterback. And
we have that video. You were, and you've not shown this
I haven't
anywhere?
Shown it. You know, he only showed me it like 6 months ago. And
really?
Like,
oh, wow. What?
Yeah. So I was just like, oh, how come I didn't see this earlier? And he said, I was just waiting. You know, he's a patient.
For the time
well, everybody, it's going to get dusty wherever you are. Here is, so your dad's shooting it on a camcorder.
Yep.
On the day of your birth.
Yes, sir.
Which is?
January 20th, 2003.
And you'll see the timestamp in the lower right. Your mom, Megan, is sitting in the hospital bed.
Yes, sir.
Having a conversation with your dad. Check it out.
What up there, baby?
I like Jonathan James, and I want to call you JJ. Oh, that's fancy. I like those names.
Yeah.
I'll call you JJ. Because you're going to be daddy's little quarterback.
I don't know.
But if not, that's okay.
My football, it's okay.
It's totally okay. I can't see your room.
Daddy's little quarterback.
Yeah, awesome. It's crazy, right? Crazy.
And then we've got the, there's the after photo right there.
There he is.
Wow. It's a big dog right there.
There's daddy's quarterback right there. And mom's too.
Yep.
Dude, man, I'm getting all misty just seeing that.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I got a little bit too. But, you know, it's a lot, you know, from then to now that took place. And, you know, so much they sacrificed. And, you know, just unconditionally grateful for everything they've done for me. And, you know, it's only the beginning.
I mean, that was just awesome stuff right there. That was in Detroit last year. And I believe that was draft day. And then later that night, he got drafted by the Minnesota Vikings. Unbelievable. John Beck is here, and you're just, you've known JJ
for a great kid. Yeah, I got to,
you know, you're talking,
I got to get to know him at Michigan. We worked together for like a little over 2 years when he was at Michigan. Mm-hmm. So a lot of fun watching him on that national championship year. Got to go through the draft process with him. And yeah, I'm really excited for him up in Minnesota. I know the building loves him. I know he loves it being there. And, you know, he's coming off an injury. But if I know JJ, like, he's got a super positive attitude. He's been working hard. And he's going to be pumped for this upcoming football season. The kid loves, he just loves football, man. He's like, Jim Harbaugh said it best. He was like, John, this kid is like, football is the candy store for this kid. And when he comes into anything football, his eyes light up like a kid walking into a candy store. He just loves it. And it's so true. That's his aura, his personality. Just loves ball, loves competing. It's cool.
Yeah, Jim and he and Jim were like spirit animals in Michigan. Like just watching them together. Obviously, you know, I could not be more biased when it comes to all that.
Back I on have the a funny story that you will love. I'm training JJ and Jim walks out and he's like, you know, asking me some questions about what like we're working on. I'm kind of telling about some footwork stuff, and Jim's like, grab me a ball.
This is Harbaugh?
Grab me a ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he jumped in and started, like, throwing balls. Like, well, I want to feel that. I want to, like, okay, you're telling this. And he just threw a bunch of balls. Like, he was right back in it. Just the comeback kid is back in it.
I love it. Captain Comeback.
Captain Comeback. That's Captain what it was.
Comeback. Captain Comeback, yeah. I'm at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. John Beck is here, and we were just talking about J.J. McCarthy. And you're talking about good spots, right? Obviously. Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah, I love him.
He is the man. I was so impressed when I was around that team in London last year before they were taking on the Jets. You could see everybody was rowing in the same direction, and the positivity was off the charts. And he's so smart, and he knows what to do with quarterbacks. You're saying J.J. McCarthy is ready, you think, this year? Because it sure looks like the Vikings are going to we're going with him.
They're going. Right? I mean, they wouldn't do that if they didn't believe it. I think the thing I love about Kevin is he's a quarterback guy. He's a quarterback person, coach. Like, he sees the game through that. Like, I really love to listen to what the coaches are telling quarterbacks, you know, on the like mic'd up stuff, or you can hear what the quarterback is saying or what the coach is saying. I love the way that quarterback people communicate to quarterbacks in game, on the sideline. That stuff matters a ton. The way that the quarterback is interpreting how the game is flowing, how his coach is seeing the game going, that stuff matters. And I think that's why Kevin's done a great job with his quarterbacks there. You know, he did a great job with Sam last year. Like, you hear the things that he's talking with Sam. Like, I think, like, if you're a quarterback person, and I'm not even talking just a player, even like an assistant coach, I would want to be in that building to watch what's going to take place over the next 2 to 3 years, because I think you're going to see some great development coming from a really good coach to a really talented young player. I think it's like, you know, you hear about those Green Bay days where you have all those people on that staff with a young Brett Favre, and you look at where all those guys went and how they were successful and the things that they do. Things like, you can't tell me that Andy Reid doesn't have a part of what he does for Patrick Mahomes coming from what he learned in his time with Green Bay and Brett Favre, for sure. And I think you're going to see something similar to that with this Kevin and JJ there in Minnesota.
Oh, boy. Now you're talking music to the ears of Vikings fans there. In a couple minutes that we have left here, you know, Rory McIlroy just completed his career Grand Slam with the Masters, right? Now we're just talking about sky could be the limit now that that's taken care of. Jalen Hurts is one of your guys. How do you think he's going to be now that he's got a ring and he's done it? And he has completed the mission once. What do you think he looks like having that now as a base of operations for him in Philadelphia?
Well, I can tell you this, because he was just on the field last week. When a guy shows up after winning the Super Bowl and he is focused on little details, I'm talking little details, to enhance things by fractions of the second. When you take that approach after reaching the pinnacle, that's that, like, and I don't want to like say it too soon or anything like that, but I think when I think of like the Michael Jordans, the Kobe Bryants, those type guys, that had to be their approach. Like, okay, I got to the summit. I want to do it again, but I'm not going to go as the same player. I'm going to try to do it again as even a better player. And that's the approach that I've seen him take this offseason.
What's an example of what the little things that he's worked on?
A little arm path thing to get the ball out just a titch sooner. You don't need it in all your throws, mm-hmm. but if you can have that here or there, and that can be the difference in, and that may only be like 2 to 3 completions over a 2 to 3 game span. But what if those are on critical third downs in the fourth quarter? What if that's the difference maker? That's where I believe his mindset is at. And so it's cool. You know, it's cool to see that. You would not know standing out on the field that the approach is any different from a season where you might have felt like, man, that didn't go like we want. We need to be pedal to the metal. We need to be doing everything we can. There's not a different approach now that he's won the Super Bowl. It's the same approach.
Well, I mean, and that tracks, right, with him.
Yeah.
And the things that he has said.
Yeah.
And the tush push didn't get banned yet. So they got that going for him. I mean, and you know Howie Roseman is set to have another week. That's pretty much what it is. That's one of those franchises you're talking about.
Yeah, they've been really, really good. And like, you know, the one thing I kind of say, like, when you look at franchises, look at how many players they develop. How many guys are able to become what they hope they can become, or the team wants them to become. Mm-hmm. Like, you see guys becoming. Well, how come in other franchises it seems like guys somehow don't become? Why does it not work out?
It's a great question, man. I mean, that is the ultimate secret sauce when you're talking about it. John, thanks for coming on here, brother.
Yeah, it's good to be on. I can't believe it's draft week again. Like,
I know.
Like we said.
Let's do this more often. It just has to be a once-a-year thing. Thanks for coming, brother.
All right, sounds great.
That's John Beck right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Calais Campbell coming up next. But I've got 2 more minutes left here on the Roku Sports Channel. Real quick here. Again, I'm always going to be asking about the secret sauce, and I know you're always going to answer me. It's different for everybody. But when you're talking Jaden Daniels, you're talking Jalen Hurts. Dak's another one. And I understand Dak has not gotten the championship games level success, and thus there's criticism and what have you. But what is there about cool customers? How can you notice that somebody's sort of pulse gets slower when the intensity gets more? And I know some people might push back. Dak's not in the even in the level of Jalen Hurts, who has now had two monster Super Bowls. Jaden Daniels, monster performances in games where it's pressure for a supposed kid. What is it? What can you sense it? Is there a through line or any sort of similarities between players?
I think that there's probably a lot of things I could speak on, but in only 1 minute, a final minute, sure. I would probably say their approach to challenge. How do they approach challenges mentally? How do they view it? All of those guys love being challenged. They love the feeling of going after a challenge. And I don't want to say they're fearless, because I think they understand that if it doesn't work out, it's going to be hard. Like, you know, they hate to lose, but there's a steadiness to the approach of like, I enjoy the challenge and I'm going to approach it the right way. And then I'm going to just swing my best punch, and I believe in my best punch. I think they got that. At times, I think challenges can feel like a threat. Mm-hmm. Or if it doesn't work out, what does that mean to the whole story? I think these guys lean into really enjoying the fact of what the challenge feels like. I think they just gravitate towards something that feels like, oh, you might not think I can, or this might be really tough. I'm going after that.
Not to turn you into sports psychologist, but I get a sense that you do have that part of your job has a role in that regard. Can you teach that to somebody? Can you notice that the quarterback doesn't lean into it? Can you teach that mentality and have it stick and be successful?
Yeah, I do think you can enhance it. I think that through life experiences, some guys, you can say it's natural to them. Mm-hmm. If you go back into their story, there are things along the way that kind of shaped that. Okay, let's say somebody may not have all those things. Can they recognize it and then start to see it differently, and then through some training actually learn how to? Absolutely. Can that guarantee that they're going to be, you know, so perfect at it? No, they can't guarantee that. But can you enhance it and learn it and improve upon it? Absolutely. That's why there is sports psychology. That's why there are things like, especially going back to Kevin, coaches that can help players, young players in the NFL, see that, feel that, especially after they've been scarred. If you can help a young guy do that, you're putting him on the right track.
Awesome stuff. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Right. And then, of course, there's also a situation like you learn it in life, like get benched in a national championship game.
There you go.
And live to tell the tale.
And look at the approach and look at the way.
Yeah. Damn straight.
Yep.
John Beck, everybody.
NBA veteran Jim Jackson takes you on the court.
You get a chance to dig into my 14-year career in the NBA, but also get the input from the people that will be joining, Charles Barkley.
I'm excited to be on your podcast, man. It's an honor.
Spike Lee, entrepreneur, filmmaker, Academy Award winner.
Knicks fan.
So, now, you see, I got you. But also how sports brings life, passion, music, all of this together.
The Jim Jackson Show, part of the Rich Eisen Podcast Network. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.